Amen. Amen. Glorious day with all the rain, even. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you, and we thank you for the rain, Lord. We thank you that you work all things for your goodness. And so, God, we just look to you right now and ask you to move in a powerful way. Thank you for your word. You're going to reveal things to us about yourself, and we give thanks to you for that. And so, God, I pray right now, just thank you for each person to hear and just open their heart to receive of the word. Anoint me. I just have speak things of the Spirit. And again, God, we thank you for your word. And we thank you that you are a teacher. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, looking at God's design, we're going to look at Exodus chapter 20. We're going to start there. Exodus chapter 20, verses 2 through 3. And so looking at God's design, and we're going to be looking at God's design, the church. So we've spent several weeks looking at God's design, different aspects of it. Now this morning I want to look at something that truly is God's design. It's the church. So as he created us and as he made us, and we talked about the creation and how we are God's design, but now we're going to look at this particular thing about God's design in the church. He made the church. And so I want to read here in Exodus, as we start looking at this, the whole story of God's design. And it says this, it's in Exodus 20, verses 2 through 3. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before you. Now, as we look at this, you think back about it. It's kind of interesting, and you think about God's working in the world, and you have God speaking to Abraham and calling Abraham out. And you can't help but get the feeling that the world was lost. Okay, it doesn't talk about any God-fearing people. God called Abraham out, and he called him to himself. And from Abraham, he made a nation. He called a people out of a lost world. He said, okay, the world's lost, and I'm going to move in, and I'm going to call people out. So that's basically what happened. And so it's kind of interesting to see. So God's design has been distorted. His original design has been distorted by sin. It's just been distorted by sin. So through Christ and the church, through Jesus Christ and the church, God moves to restore his design. Amen? Okay? We need to found that. Through the church, God moves to restore his design in the world. So the church has a purpose. Now, in this Old Testament account here, it gives us a picture of how God restores his design. It gives us a picture here in this Old Testament verse. And so what we have is the world is lost. He's called Abraham, and now he's working with his people, and they're in Egypt, okay? And now they're growing up, and they're in slavery. And so, again, think the world is lost. And so what has he done? What he does here, he says, I am, who's he talking to? The Israelites. See, the ones that are, he called out, that are in slavery. He says, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. Now that's it. That's a summary of what he did. He reached down and he called a people and he told them, I am your God. Now notice, he didn't tell the Egyptians he was their God. All right? Now he says, I'll show you I'm God, And he went, so he had a round in the plagues with Pharaoh in Egypt. But he said to the Israelites, he called, I am your God, okay, and I brought you out of the house of slavery. See, that's the church. He said, I called you. I'm your God. And he calls us out of slavery to self and sin. He calls us out. So we're a called out people. And he tells us, what? You shall have no other gods before you. There it is. There's the church. You shall have no other gods before you. That's the whole picture. But it's an Old Testament picture, and you see how it called out. And so we see the physical picture, and we kind of understand our own situation. If I could be so crude, I'd say the whole world is Egypt. And the church is this called out people. So he's calling the people out of slavery, and that's the purpose. So just, you know, to give the thing with God's design in the church and how we can see what he's doing, sometimes, maybe, you know, maybe you do, maybe you don't, you think, oh my gosh, you just feel like the church is being overwhelmed, it's being defeated, it's being undercut, and not from God's view, it's not. I mean, God said, no, I got this, you know. And when you see that he called Israel out of Egypt, they were in slavery, and they were saying, we're done. I mean, they were a complaining bunch. I mean, they were upset. They were, you know, you're not doing your job. So he calls them out. I mean, he flipped everything around. They thought it was done for them. He's going, no, I got this, you know. And he went in, and it's like, oh, my goodness, you know. So he calls out this people, you know, and he tells them, I'm your God, all right. Don't have any gods before me. I'm the God. Okay. Now, so we see this, and so we see here in Exodus 2 another Old Testament picture of how God is actively restoring his people. Now, so he gives them a little metaphor. He's called them out. So he's speaking to them again. Have you been paying attention? In Exodus 19:4, he says this. Exodus 19:4. You yourselves, he's talking to them, okay? You yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians, how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, did he put them on eagle's wings and just, you know, flap them all out of there, you know? No, but he's making a point. But that's how you got out of there. I did it. Like bearing you up on eagle's wings, I brought you out. You need to keep that picture in mind, you know. And he says, so I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to Sinai. I brought you to Canaan. I brought you to myself. That's the whole point. Don't have any other gods before me. I bore you on eagle's and I brought you to myself. What about us, you know? We come to know Lord. When we come to know Jesus, what has God done? Brought us to himself. See, same thing. He's, I'm bringing you to myself. So God brings us always back then and now, you know, in the Old Testament, New Testament, he's bringing his people to himself. That's what he's doing. So let's jump to the New Testament church. I mean, we see what happened to Israel. Man, he had the plagues. He pulled them out, part of the Red Sea. Boom, gave them, you know, the word, you know. I mean, you see that picture. He said, I bore you up on eagle's wings. What he did on, and they have that testimony. And he would tell them, you have that testimony. Remember this. Keep repeating it. Tell your kids about it. Because this is the God. This is what I do. So here we have in the church, what do we have? He bore us up on eagle's wings. Now, he didn't drag us out of Egypt across the Red Sea and into Sinai. And he says, look, no, we have a story, don't we? We have a story, we have an experience, we have some sort of account of how we came to know Christ. And that account is how he bore us up on eagle's wings to come to know him. That's our account, all right? And so that's how we came to him, because each person has a personal story, personal experience, personal testimony, all right? And with the personal story comes what? We got process. With the personal story comes what? A personal relationship. See, he told the Israel, I'm your God. Period. You know, he didn't go around, and he didn't just go around and say, we're going to go convince everybody else their gods are. Now, I mean, he did a pretty good job in Egypt, but they still didn't buy in. They still didn't buy in. You know, but he says, the point is, it's not what they believe, it's what you believe. I'm calling you that you'll have no other gods before me. And so it's the same thing here. You see that he's telling us that, you know, as we have a personal story of how we came to know Christ, that's how he bore us up on eagle's wings. And we have a relationship with him. Our story is truly important. It's truly important. Nobody can argue with our story. You see what I'm saying? Because that's what convinced us. That when we made that connection, it's like, all right. Amen? See, so that's important. So you see these Old Testament pictures, and they kind of give you an idea of what's going on. So now he gets all these people. He calls them out, okay? And this is God's design. He calls in these people out of darkness, out of slavery. He's calling them to himself and says, listen, I'm God, no other gods before me, you know, and he really made it evident. And then he makes this statement about the relationship he has with them. Now look at the Old Testament statement about the relationship he has with this group of people. Now again, the whole world's lost. We tend to forget that. The whole world's lost based on the Bible. So he calls these, even the Israelites, they're lost. He's coming, come to me, you know, I'm your God. And okay, they got to make this decision. So the whole world's lost. He calls these people out to him, and this is what he tells these people. This is what he tells these people. Look at Exodus 19, 4 through 6. Now therefore, now, I mean, they've seen the stuff. Stuff's happening. Okay, so I'm starting to talk to you, okay? Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice, who's talking? God. They said, no, you're the deal. We ain't listening to nobody else, you know. Okay, now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, now he made a promise. Okay, you're the people. Stick with me. We'll get stuff done. If you will keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession. Isn't that sweet? Huh? You're going to be my treasured possession. No other gods before me, all right? You're my treasured possession among all peoples. Now think back in Israel, you know, they're coming out. I mean, he put some tough stuff on the Egyptians, you know, he called them out. He said, you're my treasured possession among all peoples. Now look at the whole world. Back then, you know, he called that group out and he says, this is all I got, this group of people, you know. And says, you are my treasure among all peoples. It's you. It's you. And he goes, then he says this. He says, for all the earth is mine. Earth is mine. I just need some people now. Earth is mine. I just need some people. This is kind of, you know, he created the earth like, I don't know, 6 days, 7 days, you know, I mean, he, the whole thing. I got this done. Earth is mine. I need some people. I need some people to make a decision for me. I need some people to say, you are my God. So you see that. It's kind of an incredible verse. You're my treasured possessions among all people. Now, the earth is mine, but you're my people here on this earth. And you shall be a kingdom of priests. Kingdom. Everybody, a kingdom of priests. What does a priest do? You know, I mean, if you have a real... your formal priest is come here and I'll pray over you, you know, and God will intervene, you know, God works through the priest to speak to the people, or the priest is an avenue to show people to God, you know. He says, this is how I'm gonna work in the world. You're my people, you're my treasure, and you're my priest. You're my priest. Remember what Jesus said, you know, I often say this, when he left, he says, it's good for me to go. Good, because you're going to do more stuff than I did. See, I mean, it's consistent. I mean, it's kind of amazing how consistent the Bible is. All right, so here you got this incredible statement he's making that Israel, this is his treasured people. He's called out. I mean, he's called them out. He's made a statement here. Kingdom of priests. And then he says this, you're my holy nation. You're my holy nation. And then think about it. Well, you got Egypt. Back then, you had, you know, the Persians, you had the Greeks, you had the Roman Empire. You know, you had all the world and all the nations and all the people. And he goes, yep, but I got a holy nation. And he pulls, and he calls them a nation. You know, here's the list of nations, you know, ding, 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 and you got the holy. Now, this is Israel at the time, but what Israel is, and I always say, you know, if what it says in the Bible is funny. Interesting, because it talks about Israel, you know, and he's called out people. What made Israel special is he called them out. What made them special was God, not them. Because he says, and I love it in the Old Testament, he says, don't you think because I called you out, you're more special than anybody else, because you're not. You're special because I called you. He's like, oh, okay. Yeah. Just in case you're a little puffed up. He goes, there's nothing special about you. I just want you to know. But you're special because I called you. I make you special. So you got, oh, praise God. You know, so you get your focus right, you see? If focus. So he calls, it's a holy nation. It's a holy nation. So, I mean, it's kind of incredible here. So who are these people? His treasured possession, kingdom of priests, holy nation. So this is how you start. This is how you start, pulling people out of this darkness. Now, the world's his. You think, oh, man, the world's, what are we going to do? We're killing the world. We're going to run. Nah, I got this. I got this. You know. No, you know, and I'd be a little sarcastic, but it's fun to be sarcastic sometimes. You know, I said, we got a new green deal for the earth. No, we need a new deal with Jesus. Okay, he'll take care of the rest of this stuff. You see what I'm saying? You know, and it's amazing, people without God, they don't have anything else. And so they've got to, God, we got to take care of this because this is all we've got and it's up to us. And God goes, no, it's not, it's mine. I got it, I'm working this deal and I'm working around my nation. See, so we need to just keep focused on what he's doing and not get a little sideways. I mean, as you leave, I appreciate you don't throw trash in the church yard. So you can be that part of the Green Deal. But you see what I'm saying? But anyway, so I just wanted to let you see this, is that God is, I got this, and I'm pulling out people, the whole world's mine, but I need my people. I need my people, a holy nation. Guess what he didn't say? I need more Democrats. He also said, he didn't say, I need more Republicans. He didn't say that. He said, I need more people. Okay. I need to pick my treasured possession, my kingdom of priests, holy nation. Because that's the nation I'm working through. Amen? So anyway, again, well, God's designed the church. So let's jump out of Israel and get to the church, you think, all right? But here's a verse I want to talk to you about in the New Testament that talks about the church that is almost exactly the same as the Old Testament verse. It's almost. Here is Peter talking about the church. Now, he's talking to a church, and he's talking about the church. He wrote him a letter, and this is what he says, all right? 1 Peter 2:9. There's a couple other verses, but we didn't have time to go through them. But here what you have, 1 Peter 2:9. See if this sounds familiar. Talking to the church. But you are a chosen race. Racial. I am American Indian. I am African American. I am Latin. I am Italian. He goes, no, you're a race. You're a Christian. That's the race you are. You are a Christian. That's the race I'm coming for. You are the chosen race. See? You're getting real ethnic there, isn't he? It's like, gee whiz. He says, you are the chosen race. A royal priest. He just called us the priesthood. A priest. Old Testament. Now he said, we're a royal priesthood. We're royalty, and we have a royal priesthood to tell about Christ with the power of Christ, because Christ said, you're going to do more than me. So we have the power of Christ, and we're a royal priesthood talking about God. A royal priesthood. And a holy nation. I am an American. He said, doesn't count what? You're Christian. That's what counts. When Jesus comes back, he's not coming back for Americans. By the way, he's not coming back for Chinese, and he's not coming back for the Italians. He's not coming back for that. He's coming back for the church. So he's telling us right here, listen, chosen, a royal, a holy nation. And then he says this again, a people of my own possession. It's the same verse. I think Peter just copied this. I don't even think this was inspired. He said, man, this sounds good. So he just writes it. I mean, he just wrote the same verse here. All right? It's amazing. So when you think about, like, what God is saying about his people and who we are, now this is what he thinks. See, it doesn't count what we think. You know, I depress myself about what I think. You know, this is what God thinks. He said, well, you're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of God's own possession. Just like the Israel. You're mine. Out of this whole dark world, you're mine. That's what he said. Out of this whole dark, well, what about my neighbor? Man, I just like the Egyptians. I'm saying you're mine. In this whole dark world, you are mine. Okay? And then it says, this kind of throws this in. Well, that's cool being God's. I mean, isn't that cool being God's? Amen? I mean, that's kind of nice.
And he says, you're people of God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who did what? Who did what? Called you. Called you out of darkness. Now, he called Israelites out of slavery. He called us out of darkness. And what we're going to do is proclaim that he called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. What's the Christian message? Well, let me tell you this theological doctrine about this particular subject so you'll be edified in your mind and can understand that. That's not what it is. No, it's like, man, I was lost, and you wouldn't believe me, and I accept you, and I'm saved. That's the message. And he goes, now that's what you're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of God's own possession, that you can just tell him, I was in darkness, and now I'm in light. That's the message. Amen? Now we just got in the church. Now, you should never, ever mention celebrities, ever. Because, you know, they're in a, you know, that's a world that's just full of sin, and they'll fall, and they'll mess up just like we do. You know, but every once in a while, we'll just pray for this guy. We'll just pray for this guy. But I read it, and I think, you know, it's amazing. Who would have thought it? Who would have thought it? But I read it in Kanye West. You know Kanye West? I'm going to just tell you, it's just like a nutso rapper. He's done some of the craziest stuff I ever saw in my life. He's just, you know, boorish. He's just one of those guys, okay? And again, if you haven't seen him, he's a black guy, rapper, you know. You don't know Kanye West? Everybody know Kanye West? Kanye West, okay. He accepted Christ. And he's over here, and he's making all these songs. He's getting all sorts of flack now because he's making songs about Christ. And they talk to him, and you know, I don't know anything about it, nothing, because I didn't like him over here. I didn't like his music or anything else. But now over here, I'm a good grief. So they ask him, says, well, what makes you different? You know, he says, it's in darkness and it's brought to light. That's about how smart you got to be. You know, we're trying to be real smart about, no, we came from darkness to light. You start there. And so I'm praying for that. Pray for Kanye West. I have no idea. But he said that. I said, well, that's cool, isn't it? That's amazing. And that's what he said. He made this song about accepting Jesus. Oh, my God. Oh, that's funny. And you just read this, you laugh. And he made in this song that you are to go Chick-fil-A. Because they all banned Chick-fil-A. And in this song, he says, yeah, you can't go to Chick-fil-A. And I thought, you just throw Chick-fil-A in. You can do what you want to. I pray for Kanye West. He's in that world, you know. And so I pray he hangs tight. But he accepted Christ. I think Christ's going to hold on to him. And now, isn't that amazing? And guess what happened to Kanye West? If he accepted Christ, he's a chosen race. He's a royal priesthood. He's a holy nation. He's a people of God's own possession. That's who he is. That's what happens. So anyway, it's fascinating. So you see the same things. And so in the excellencies we proclaim, he says, this happens so that you can proclaim the excellencies. What are the excellencies? How we came to Christ. That's what that says. That's what Peter says. No, that's your story. How you came to Christ. Now, and so we know when we see this, and so we're getting, let's get back to the church. I got in Kanye. I was excited about Kanye. I just read that yesterday. I thought, wow, that's amazing. If I'd read that money, I'd made the whole message about Kanye. No, I wouldn't either. But anyway, so here we go. So, but here's something else we need to know, is the church, the church is this chosen race, royal priesthood, holy nation, people of God's own possession. But what we have to understand is the church is God speaks his word and Christian values to the church, not the world. See, there's a difference here.
like when Moses, when God called the Israelites out, he taught them. He judged Egypt. He told you, I'm God, let them go. You know, but he taught Israel. The church, those that don't come, he judges and he teaches the church. You see what I'm saying? People that stay out, they end up being judged. But the church, he teaches. He teaches. So what we need to understand, that Christian values and God's word is for the church, not the world. Well, they don't believe the Bible. They won't put the Ten Commandments on the school. Well, I mean, I would be surprised, you know, if some atheist dictator put the Ten Commandments. Okay. No, they don't believe it. Why are we trying to get them to do stuff they don't believe? See, that's amazing to me. So anyway, just the point of it, that God's word and Christian values are to the church, not the world. Not the world. And it's all through the scripture. Now, of course, we share whenever we have the opportunity. But we know that no one can come to understanding unless they accept Christ. Amen? Sure, we share, but we always have in our mind, well, they got to accept Christ or they'll never go any place with this. You see what I'm saying? So we just need, that's just an understanding. It just helps us in the approach. And I've said it over and over. Said, well, I want to talk to you about this moral issue and what are your points and the do's and don'ts and whys and not, you know? And you go, well, what we really need to talk about is that, you know, that if you trust on the Lord Jesus Christ, you go to heaven. That's what I want to talk about. And then we can talk about that. Well, no, I won't talk. Well, no, I'll have to let God take care of that. But I really would like to talk about how I came from darkness to light, because that's the important thing. Not that. That's not important. It's coming to know Christ. So you turn the argument. Right? Because the words to us, it's not to them. Don't try to tell them what I thought this up. I think this revelation. It was just like God told me. Would you meet a friend that you don't know and you're going to witness to him? The first thing you're going to do, you need to come to our church and you need to give 10%. We'll start there. Why don't you do that? It's biblical. Biblical. Why? Because I ain't going to give your church nothing. What are you talking about? No motivation. And there's not. You don't give them a Christian principle. They need to receive Christ. And then they understand that what they give back in abundance because they accept Christ. You see what I'm saying? It's just, you know, just be smart about the whole situation. See, now Paul tells us about this. I love it. You know, the Bible tells us. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 12 through 13. This is what the Apostle Paul says. Now, this is kind of fascinating. Paul says, for what have I to do with judging, making decisions, judging outsiders outside the church? Is it not those inside the church to whom you are judges? Okay. 13. Look at 13. Revelation. God judges those outside. You know, you need to come and give to my church. How nuts is that, you know? God is the one who deals with them. And how's he going to deal with them? Convict them to give to our church? No, he's going to convict them to accept Christ. You see what I'm saying? And he says, so it's all right here. God judges those outside. And again, the word judge here, it's not, I mean, it's within the church. I mean, we really know what judge means. It's like, okay, judgmental, you know, your hair's too long, your skirt's too short, you know, whatever. You can just, forever and ever it goes on. But that's not what this is saying. That is not what this, it's not what the judgment means. It means discerning and understand God's design and follow it, you know. So it isn't judgmental, because that's even, God condemns judgment and judging others. So he's just talking about understanding here. And so what he's saying is that this does not mean being judgmental in the church. It's saying that the church has the truth, the word of God, therefore, the capacity to follow God's design. You see what I'm saying? The church has the capacity to follow. They don't have the capacity. they don't have the capacity not to know Jesus and give to our church. I mean, that's a rule. I mean, I'm just going to stick with, like I said, I thought that was a revelation. It helped me understand the whole thing. Right now, won't you? You know, I won't talk about this. No, let's talk. You need to give to my church first before I talk to you. I mean, it just, I mean, the lunacy of it is really clarifying for me, anyway. So, but what you have here is the church has the truth, the Word of God. Therefore, it has the capacity to follow God's design and to make godly decisions consistent with God's desire. We know. They don't. Because he's telling us. He's teaching us. Why? Because we're his people. We're the chosen race. He's telling. He's letting us in on this. Amen? So anyway, so it's fascinating when you look at this. Now here's one about, and I was looking through these. There's so many verses you can use. But on God's design, here's where it flows out. It looks at the church and its unique organization. The church is a unique organization. I mean, every government and company has an organization. You have to have an organization to run. Well, Jesus has one. He leads one for the church. Now, he is very specific with Israelites, okay? And there was a reason for that, because he is lining up things, prophesying Christ and all that. With the church, he didn't say much about organization. But he does say some stuff about organization. And this one, this verse is interesting. Let me just read through this. But this is a fascinating verse, which Jesus talks about God's, the church's organization. Look at Ephesians 1, chapter 1, verses 22 through 23. Now again, we're trying to understand God's design, the church. So he's done it. He's designing this. So we need to pay attention. Okay, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 through 23. And God placed all things under Jesus' feet and appointed Jesus to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of Jesus, who fills everything in every way. Now just process this for a minute, okay? Jesus is over everything. Okay, see, he's just letting, I mean, we knew that, but he's telling us. Just remind you. Jesus is over everything. But what we don't think, or I say I didn't think, Jesus is over everything for the benefit of the church. What? He's over everything. We already know he's over everything. Well, yeah, but it's for the benefit of the church. Meaning everything that happens, and it's everything he's over, he's sifting it through to work out for his church. I mean, is that what it says? I mean, it just says that. That's amazing. And then he goes on to say, Jesus, the head over everything for the benefit of the church, which is his body. I mean, just process it. Now, you know, I've heard little kids say it. I heard people say it. You know, you should just drive me crazy. But it's true. So I have to adjust my thing. You know, I am God's hands. I am God's feet. And I am God's mouth. You know, I'd rather you be God's hands than God's mouth. But anyway, you know, but it's the truth. I mean, that is actually what it says. It says that we're connected, that Jesus is over the church, and the church is Jesus' body. His body moving in this earth. It's good that I go away, because you'll do more than while I was here, because the church is his moving body in this world. And Jesus is the head of the church, and everything's been given to Jesus, and we're his body moving through it. It sounds like we got the upper hand, does it not? From God's point, I mean, Jesus is the head, we're his body moving through. The church has the upper hand, based on what Scripture says. Amen? The head. There is even another verse, and I started to use this, actually two of them. It says that Jesus, that we are connected to the head. That's the structure, the church. And it's like, I actually had somebody tell me this one time. I mean, it actually scared me when they told me. She talked to me, a person talked to me. I mean, you see. Anyway, a person talked to me, and she said, we need to be more connected to the head. I thought, well, you know, I mean, it's you and Jesus you need to work on. Well, she's talking about me. And she said, no, I mean you. I said, oh, Lord Jesus, no, you no. Don't even talk. What are you talking about? I'm not the head.
I'm the head. Now I got a different pastor, but I'm not the head. And it says nowhere in there to be connected to me. It says be connected to the head, which is Christ. All right? And it's the Christ, it says he's the head over everything for the church, which is his body. You know, and I thought, no, that you got a preacher up there. You be connected with me, I'm the head. It's like, no, sirree. Oh, this guy. No, this is going wrong direction, big time. You're connected to, and what a pastor does is help everyone to be connected to the head. If you want to be his hands, I can encourage you to be connected to the head so you can be his hands. Not to me. You see, it's a big problem. Big any church, I don't care where you're going. Never say that, be connected to me, be the head. Don't let the door hit you in the back on the way out. I mean, scoot out of that place. You see what I'm saying? And sometimes people will present themselves. They may not say it, but they present themselves that way. Don't. There's something wrong. Inherently deep wrong with that. All right? So what we have here, he says we see this. The church is Christ's body. So when he works in the world, he works the church. Amen? Clear. Now, this is the other thing, and I don't know, you may have heard this, but the church is not an institution. The church is an organism. It's not an institution, it's an organism. It lives. In 1 Peter, this just came to mind. If you look back in 1 Peter, it says you, as living stones, are connected to Christ, the living stone. What does that nonsense mean? You, as living stones, bum, 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 heart beating, bum, 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 bum. You, as living stones, are connected to Jesus, the living stone. It's a living building. Bum, 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 heart's beating. See, that's what the church is. Not an organization, not an institution. It's a living organism. That's how it's supposed to function. That's what the Bible says it's supposed to function. And it exists, the church, and exists and functions only by its reason of its vital relationship with Jesus, who is the head. That's the only reason the church exists, because it has a vital relationship with the head. I need a vital relationship with the head. And for you to be anything a part of what God wants to do, you have to have a vital relationship with the head. Amen? It's an organism. It's an organism. That's what he talks about, okay? And we also, what is that organ? It is a holy nation. It is a chosen race. This whole thing, that's boom, boom, boom. And then when Jesus sees the world, that's what he sees. He sees his church. And when he comes back, he comes for his church. And then also he says there's localities of church. And it says it's different, you know, groups, you know, churches, but they're all part of that living organism. Boom, boom. Heart beating. Boom, boom, boom. All right. So anyway, it's fascinating. Anybody think this fascinating? Come on, don't make me feel bad. I want you to think it's fascinating. All right. Now this I promise you, will blow your mind. Come on, it will. It will. So God goes on and tells us the church is a glorious achievement for all to see. This is what God says. That the church is a glorious achievement for all to see. Now, we know where we are, what the church is. Bum, 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 bum. Okay? You know, we all gather together. You thought, I'm just going to sit here and sleep, snooze through the sermon. No, man, you're pumping heart, you know, going through this. Part of the organism of Christ. Now, look at this verse. Now, Jesus, God's going to tell us how glorious his church is. I'll read this to you and then we'll go over it. Look at Ephesians 3:10. By the way, if you ever want to know a lot about the church, read Ephesians. It's about the finished church. There's a lot there. Ephesians 3:10. God's intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. So say, here we are, we're gathering together. We're the church. Boom, 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 boom. All right, Jesus is over here one stone. Boom, boom, boom. You know, I'm here one stone. Boom, boom. You're going boom, boom. Okay, we're all here gathered. Okay, so, and what does it say? God's intent. So he's telling us why we're here. Boom, 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 boom. All right? God's intent was to show through the church. That word through is big. This is how he's showing. He's showing through the church. His intent, show through the church. You think with me. Boom, 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 boom. Jesus over here. Boom, 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 boom. I'm here. Boom, boom, heart beating. And it's this organism. And God's intent was to show through the church the manifold wisdom of God. Now, what's fascinating, so his point is to show the manifold wisdom of God. Manifold is a great word, okay? You know, like Joseph, Jacob. Who had the coat of many colors? Joseph. He had a coat of many colors, okay? That's a manifold coat. You don't seem impressed with that. But it was a manifold coat. Okay, so what it is, manifold means, it means varied, this actually said it, very varied. I mean, it sounds like something your kid would say, very varied. How much you like that? Very varied much. You know, don't say that. You just need one. But it actually means that, very varied. Very, very. Okay, so very varied, okay, or it means variegated. How many of you have variegated plants? You know, if you have a variegated plant, you know what that is. It's got all those lines and shoots. So it's variegated. It's not one color. It's variegated. Or it means multifaceted. So what we have is the manifold wisdom of God is variegated, all right, variegated, or multifaceted, or many varied. What does that mean? It looks different. The organism in India looks different than the organism in Africa, looks different than the organism in Italy. It looks different than the organism in South America. It's very varied. And within each church, you've got all these very varied people. Now, I will tell you, you got very varied people in the church. Okay, very varied, very, very, very varied. Okay, within the church. So all these varied people are the variegated, multifaceted picture of the wisdom of God. So everybody's included in this. So God's intent, this was his purpose. He did it on purpose. Why couldn't everybody be just like this? No, that's not his purpose. I have to tell you this story. This is funny. We had this person, and we, long time ago, in a Bible study. And I'm going to just leave. She was a unique character. God bless her. Okay, God bless her. A unique character. It was one of those unique characters I wish God would have blessed somebody else with. But he blessed us with her. And we had a visitor that came. And said, godly person. And you know, she's just doing her thing. And I mean, she's all right. So she's doing her thing. And the person leaned over to me and said, there's always one in every group. Very varied. Multifaceted. God does it on purpose. He does it on purpose. It's like, good gosh, why are they here? I brought them here. You need a very varied. You know, you need to be more very varied. Now, I've had a lot of people tell me that you need a lot more very varied in you. Okay. But it really was a revelation. No, there is somebody like that everywhere. Why? Because he wants it to be multifaceted. Because he is multifaceted. Oh, God, you can't be like that. Yeah, I am. See, very, very. Okay. So anyway, you see this. God's intent through the church, this is his intent. I mean, that's what it says. His intent was now through the church that the manifold wisdom of God should be made known. That's what he's doing with all the very varied. Why are you here and think the way you do? Because I'm part of the very varied, and it's part of God's plan to show the wisdom of God. That's what he's, amen? I mean, it's like, this is amazing. But this next part blows my mind. I mean, I've read this often and often, and I just kind of, you know, clicked off and skimmed over it, you know, because it just. God's intent through the church to show the manifest wisdom of the manifold wisdom of God. So it should be made known to the angels. What? What do you mean? I mean, who? To the angels. Oh, I wish an angel was here. And oh, I wish they had to appear. I've heard people, I've seen an angel here, and I just know God's moon because I saw an angel here. That's not what's happening. The angels are going, wow, look at that. Look at what God's doing. That's amazing. We never knew the majesty of God until we saw the church. Look at what God's, that's what the angels are doing. One verse in Peter says, the church is something that the angels desire to look upon. See, how many of you feel like, oh, I'm going through this, going here, crazy kids driving me crazy, the car broke down, I don't know what to do. It's just like going out cornhole, it rained all day, get all stuff here, I hadn't had any food repair, I got to go get some food, it's like, oh God. The angels are going, wow, look at that. Look at that. Look at what they're doing. Look at that. Look how God's working it out. Listen to their story. Look how they mess up and they repent. Look at that. They always come back. Look at that. That's what's happening. That's what this verse says. It almost has nothing to do with us. It doesn't have anything to do with it. It's a verse for the angels. What do you get out of this? You know, you're very varied. I told you that, but you knew that when you came in. All right? I knew you were very varied before you came in. I could tell you you're very varied. Okay. But see, it's not even for us. What is it? It's for the angels. Says, no, the angels are looking. They're amazed at what happened at the church. And looking at the church and Latin America. Oh, my God. Look at that. Look at the church here. Looking at the church here. Look at that. Is that what it says? Is that what? What's the intent? Look at what the intent is. To show whom. Look at what it says. Whom. Now, I've spent 50 years over reading this. Okay, just passed it off. I used a black magic marker just right because this is confusing. Okay, no, look at this. What is God's intent? You got millions of angels, and he says they're ministers, and we want one to minister for us, and angels are here and want to see an angel. And like, God, no, that there it is. Like, man, I mean, they're sitting back on their lounge chair eating popcorn, saying, look at these guys. This is something else. I never dreamed God could pull this thing off. Remember, the Lord, the world was completely dark, lost in sin. He called one guy, then he called a nation, then he called a church, and they're going, wow, who would ever thought of it? And it says, in heaven, guess who we rule over? Angels. And they don't care. And you don't believe our story, man. Anything you say, buddy, I can't even believe you're here. You see what I'm saying? Okay, so God's intent that this be made known to the angels. But what's being made to know that? The wisdom of God. God's majesty, who he is. So when you come to know Christ, you accept Christ and you come into the kingdom, the angels are like, wow, that's the wisdom of God. Wow, look at that. See? We're witnesses to the angels, and that's God's intent. Anyway, fascinating. Then it goes on to this. I love this one. It says God's design, says God's purpose is to show God's glory in his people and in Jesus Christ. So his purpose is to show his glory in us. And the angels are going, look at that. He actually did it. Look, if you will, Ephesians 3:21. To God be the glory. Amen. We've said that. To God be the glory. Where? To God be the glory. In Egypt. Where? Who gives God the glory? In the church. I mean, you didn't talk about job. I don't know. Do you have a job? I don't know what to do. This thing, I read this book. I don't know what. Yes, the job description is real short for us on this. God be the glory in the church. Well, you know, I don't know. I love Jesus. I just love Jesus. That's all I know. See, God be the glory in the church. And God be the glory where? In Jesus Christ. God be the glory in Jesus Christ, because that's the only way the church gets to God. God be the glory in the church, in Jesus Christ. For how long? Throughout all generations, forever and ever. I don't think we're going to get over this. I don't think we're going to get over this. All through heaven, we're going, oh, glory to God. See? It's because we're his treasured possession, and we give glory here and for all eternity. And he's, I like hanging around these people. They keep giving glory, you know? And through Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to go quickly through this, but it's just, and this was a kind of a short message. I just got sidetracked on these different stories. Anyway, if you want to see the shorter version of it, I'll put it on the web. Say, the church, our story brings the glory of God because we are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of his own possession. Amen? And you know what the Bible does? is to help us understand God's design. Who was the Bible given to? Egypt? Your next door neighbor. It's given to you. And it helps us, a church, the Bible helps us to understand God's design. Look at 1 Timothy 3:15. It's amazing. That's true. It says what? To know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household. Yeah, this is my house. You do what I say. Okay? Like that. I mean, you tell your kids that. But other people, no, this is my house. They come in and out like, where are your furniture? I want to move your furniture. Say, no, it's my house. See, this is what it is. God said, this is my house. Okay? Right here. To know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God. This is where God hangs out with his people. He's cool people. Angels are excited about you coming on. It's just amazing. It's an exciting place, all right? The church of the living God. So it's God's household, the church of the living God, the pillar and the foundation of truth. The pillar and foundation of truth is not in Egypt. It's not with your neighbor. It's not with the Democratic Party. It's not with the Republican Party. The pillar of the truth is in the church. All right, and you see some churches, they're kind of getting weak on the pillar of truth here stuff. All right, well, you know, I don't think that's a good thing. I think that might make God mad. So let's don't do that. Okay, so, and here, I just throw this in because you have to know it's an organization, it's an organism. And what God does, he has designed pastors and elders who carry out, you know, the desires of the pastor, and they come together, you know. So he's designed pastors and elders who trust Christ, are dedicated to the Bible. He's entrusted them to care for the church, which he ordained by his own blood. You think about it. Well, I just ordained this church by blood. Now you take care of it. You go, ye gads. You know, that sounds, I mean, you didn't have to throw in. He bought with his own blood with it, you know. It's like makes it sound more serious, doesn't it? Look what sex says in Acts 20, verse 28. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his blood. I bought it with my blood. Now you take care of it. It's like, oh, I just want to kind of give a 15-minute devotional and go have lunch with my wife, you know. That might keep me up all night if I think about it. By the way, I never sleep well Saturday night. I just never do. Anyway, not that this is part of it, but I think maybe it might be. See, so what the point of it is, but God says, no, and this is something within, and I mean this in general. You ought to know when you go to a church body, you ought to believe that the leadership and the pastor cares about you. You really should. They really should care. I mean, if they care about you, it's going to impact their behavior towards you. And you can tell. I mean, you can tell somebody likes you, don't you? You can tell. I mean, you tell. The pastor doesn't like me. He probably don't. I mean, it's like, no. You know, because he cares about you, so that would impact the things they do if they care about you. You see what I'm saying? But that's what it says. And the leadership should understand, my gosh, God bought this church with his own blood. They won't care for it. And how do you care for it? You connect it to the head. Amen? Oh, he bought his own blood. They better connect to me. He said, no, I want them part of this. Oh, man. Don't want this on me. Hey, you need to talk to Jesus. Okay. You see what I'm saying? You connect people to the head. Every time he talks about it, you connect them to the head, and then everybody grows, and this organism grows because Christ makes it grow. That's even a verse someplace. Christ will make it grow. Amen? Hallelujah. So we have a unifying factor in the church, because you look around the church, oh, my gosh. You know, think, oh, Lord. I mean, you talk about the lost world. The church is many, very, 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 varied. I mean, talking about believing very. But we do have a unifying factor. And this helps, and this is where you need to start in the church or any place else. And I love this, and it's in 1 Timothy 2:5, because it just drives home the point. For people in the church that may have a few different views, that have a lot of different views, but even people outside the church, this is where you go, and this is where you start from, and then build from it. In 1 Timothy 2:5, there is one God. What did God tell the Israelites? No other gods but me. That's what, I mean, he ain't changed his mind, and no other gods but me. So here we go. There is one God. There is one mediator. See, are there many ways? No, there is not. The Bible tells us, no, it's just one. There is one God and one mediator between God and men. The man Christ Jesus. There you go. That's it. Unified. Now, if they don't believe it, they're not part of the church. I don't, they can tell you where they want to. They are not part of the church. If they believe this and are just believe some crazy thing, okay, they're part of the church and believe some crazy thing. But you're still part of the church. All right? That means when you have a potluck, you have to ask them. Okay, that, but you see what I'm saying? This is the unifying factor. All right? There's one God. There's one mediator between God and men, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the design of the church. Oh, my God, the design of the church. And you call the church a chosen race. A chosen race. It's a chosen nationality. It's a chosen ethnic group. It is a chosen race, is the church. A royal priesthood, that carries the message of the royalty of God and the Lord Jesus Christ to others. A holy nation, a possession of God. And I love what it says in Old Testament. It says, the apple of God's eye. We thank you, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.